Okay, Rabbosai.
I have a small agenda of my own for this chabura, but I wanted very much to hear what agendas might be on your end.
It does at times, Dan. You ask what?
Yeah.
Good to ask.
Yeah. I want to know what model it is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Finally. Happy down.
No, I'll write them if you want to know.
Please.
I thought that's beautiful.
So I want to hear if there's an agenda that you fellows have that is perhaps a specific or burning agenda that you would like to have addressed. My inclination is to try to use this opportunity to work on bitachon. And the reason I think that it's so important to work on bitachon is there's a certain amount of stress or tension that we walk around with that blocks, in a very meaningful way, blocks the avodas hamusar, the process of learning, it and of personal growth. It's blocked by a certain stress or tension which says, I don't have time. What does it mean, I don't have time? I'm under pressure. If you can take some of that off of your shoulders and be able to be in the moment of your life, in the moment, be living in the moment with a certain degree of gusto and engagement in the moment of your life, that pressure falls off. There isn't that sense of maybe I'm not getting it. Maybe I need to do something else other than what I'm doing right now. To be able to live a meaningful life, you need to be able to feel the relaxation to live that life. I feel that a lot of other things start from getting a certain kinyan in midas habitachon. First of all, on the purely technical level, to know what it is and what it's not. And on a more sophisticated level, to know how to encounter it for each of us individually. Most people, when they talk about bitachon, they talk about a should. This is what I should believe, this is what I should feel, and they miss themselves completely. Bitachon is the most natural possible experience. Nothing about it is experienced as a should. When you get into the car and you turn on the ignition with the assumption that the car is going to turn on, you are expressing thereby your bitachon in the engineering and the state of your vehicle. And if you're nervous because you've had a number of occasions where the car didn't start, and you have some stress and you're nervous, it's not because you decided to be less confident. You have some experience that causes you to fret. And so you turn on the car with a certain degree of, I hope. And in fact, if it's a new car, or the car is well tuned up, and you turn it on and it doesn't turn on, the car doesn't turn over, you're surprised. And maybe even angry. Spent good money on getting this new car or getting this car tuned up, it didn't turn on. The experience of bitachon is not a should experience. It's a natural experience. And unfortunately, when you're studying the ideal of bitachon, that natural experience tends to get lost in favor of a should experience. And we need to recoup that. So, for example, a person who has an infection, kid has an ear infection, and he goes to the doctor and he gets an antibiotic for the ear infection. Oh, Baruch Hashem what? It's all taken care of. It's because he believes in penicillin. We believe in penicillin. We believe in it. It's not just that we use it as a tool. We believe in penicillin. We're maminim in penicillin. I don't know if there's many people sitting here in the room who know why or how penicillin works. But without knowing how penicillin works, I'm a maimin in penicillin. Kid has an ear infection. Ani maimin be'emuna shleima, that if I can get a hold of the doctor, I'm not a maimin that it's so easy to get an appointment. I'm not a maimin that he's going to be in his office. I'm not a maimon that there won't be a long wait at the kupah, but I'm a maimon that if I can get the amoxicillin or if I can get the proper penicillin into the kid's system, I'm a maimon. And somebody tells me that bitachon is that you only rely on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The only thing that works is the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what do I do now? Don't go to the doctor. Become a Christian Scientist. Don't go to the doctor. Because I'm a maimon. Why am I a maimon? Because somebody told me that that's what I'm supposed to believe. As it should. Now I'm lost. I'm lost because I created a reality. I created a reality when I believed that penicillin works. You can't just undo that reality by deciding that it's wrong. I created a reality. What reality did I create? I now have a relationship with medicine. I have a reliance relationship with medicine. Well, that's not what I should have. Be very careful. You have to work with what is in a robust way. I believe, and therefore I am subject to the rules of my belief system. Some people might say you get what you deserve. I'm telling you, Rabosai, clear from the Chovos HaLevavos, you get what you believe. You don't get what you deserve. I don't know if you get what you deserve. That's lasid lavo. In this world, you get what you believe. If you believe in medicine, then you are given over to the world of medicine for better and for worse. What will HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to help you along? He'll cause a little report to drift through your ear. When you hear about somebody who was misdiagnosed, you hear about somebody whose the penicillin didn't work for, you'll hear about somebody who had an anencephalic reaction to a penicillin that they were allergic to and they didn't catch it. That'll drift through your ears somewhere along the line. Somebody will mention such a story to you. What is Ribbono Shel Olam doing when he's mentioning, when he causes you to hear such a story? Wants to help you back. Wants to help you back to where? To an understanding that Kadosh Baruch Hu may operate through the vehicle of this particular ishtadlus, but don't rely in the sense of the simple sense of belief in the medicine, but rather on the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And eventually it gets to the point where your belief in the medicine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps you, assuming that you want to be helped. The belief in the medicine is eroded a little bit. The medicine becomes a hishtadlus of operating with Derech HaTeva. And as a person starts to now be a little confused, what do I rely on? What is there to rely on? And he discovers through his studies, through his bonenus, and sometimes even through life experience, that there's only one thing, there's only one place to rely on, and that's the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's a transition process that happens. We start out with a sense of confidence and reliance, a simple confidence and reliance in our world of Teva. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu helps us by causing us to have some of that be eroded, assuming that he's working with us. Siyata Dishmaya is working with us. And then we're mizbonein on what Kodesh Baruch Hu is, and we start to transfer some of that simple reliance over to where it belongs, onto the Ribbono Shel Olam. And I'm in good hands with Allstate, with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a company, an American insurance company, and that's their slogan. They put out you're in good hands with Allstate. They want you, what are they trying to do? They're trying to have you transfer some of that sense of well-being, that peace and well-being, to transfer it to them. That they look very much after you, and they'll take care, if there's ever a need, they'll take care of the need. So you're in good hands with all things. Unfortunately, Allstate is only there after the fact. Allstate is not there before the fact. Ribbono Shel Olam is there before the fact. Allstate is only there after the fact. I remember I was working in a Chevra Kedisha, the volunteer Chevra Kedisha in Milwaukee. In those years, the Chevra Kedisha had no control over the casket, only over the Tahara. And whatever the casket that they were, that the undertaker was able to sell, that's the casket that the family bought. So every once in a while, there was a hermetically sealed casket. Metal casket, and they close the casket, then have a plunger, pulls out all of the air, creates an absolute vacuum inside the casket so that the body never decomposes ever. There's no air in the casket, there's no possibility of any decomposing. In fact, there was a surety bond. A surety bond in the casket, which I took home. I figure the person probably doesn't need it. The surety bond is a $10,000 surety bond that if this body is ever exhumed and it has decomposed at all, this $10,000 surety bond guarantees a new casket. The Ribbono Shel Olam. Guarantee a new body. That business to guarantee a new casket. If it helps me then, if the body decomposes, they're going to give me a new casket? You give me a new body. If that's what you're guaranteeing, so give me a new body. What is it? Give me a new casket. Parentheses, cost of exhuming not included. You dig it up. If you're a meshugan and you want to dig it up, this surety bond says that you can have a new casket if the body is decomposed. So this I've taken home from time to time. I figured he probably doesn't need it. I thought it was funny. Listen to the bitachon. Listen to how far it can go. Who's sleeping well at night? I want to know who's sleeping well at night that they spent a fortune on this casket and now the body can't decompose. Tell me who's sleeping well at night. The next of kin, who spent his fortune on the casket, the next of kin is sleeping well at night that what?
That the body will stay exactly the way
that the body will stay the way it was when it was buried. Cost of exhuming not included. It's such a powerful need to relax and to feel that we are taken care of, that matters are taken care of, that we will go for anything at all, any little piece of nonsense in our life. If somebody will just assure us that that's taken care of, anything, mamash, anything, just give the person some sort of assurance, this is now taken care of. It can be the most remote, the most outrageous, and the person's willing to spend a fortune for that assurance, whether it's Allstate or the surety bond in the bottom of the casket. And if you think it's funny, you should know that we're doing it all the time. We live in tremendous pressure and tension. Enormous pressure and tension because of the unknowns in our lives. And if anything at all is somehow set in place, great. A lot of the things that we do, it's not just because it's more convenient, it's because it's more assured. I want things to be assured. And with redundancy systems that Americans have become famous for. That is the symbol of America. It's redundancy systems. That is why they have the most advanced space exploration. Bar none. It's because they have the absolute corner on the market of redundancy systems. It's assured, because if that fails, this kicks in. It's ad kedei kach. I had a new credit card. The credit card company changed my credit card number. Okay. So I had to call some of the places that have that credit card on file. So I called EasyPass. EasyPass is a system in New York. It's all over, actually, but mine is an easy pass in New York. It allows me to go through the bridges and tunnels in New York, and it takes the tolls off of my credit card. So I can go through. I don't have to stand on line. An easy pass. So I call into the easy pass system, change the credit card. Well, very nice. Call in. Do you want to change the primary card? The secondary card? Or the backup account? What do you want to change? We're just talking about tolls. I just want to make sure we're talking about tolls to go through the bridge and the tunnels. That it has to be absolutely assured. What are you going to assure me? The primary, the secondary, the backup account? What is it, Fort Knox? What business? You have to do that because you have to be assured, and that's why there's no such thing as, well, that's so remote, I just don't worry about that. Everything, we worry about absolutely everything. I don't have a question about people who have anxiety disorders. I have questions about the rest of us that don't. Honestly, a person with an anxiety disorder makes perfect sense to me. I just want to know two things. One, how come the person with an anxiety disorder doesn't worry about everything? Why are there some things that they don't worry about? That's my first kasha. And my second kasha is, how come I don't worry about the things that they worry about? What? Somebody gave me some sort of assurance? I'm a Baal Bitachon? Why? And not only that, he's jealous of me. He's coming into my office and he's jealous of me because I'm not worried about the things that he's all worried about. And I say to him, what do you mean? I'm nuts. You're at least worried. I just want to know why you stop worrying. I want to know why it's certain things that you just sort of don't worry about them. Why not? Worry and fret, but how come you're sitting here in my office not worrying about the ceiling falling in? How did you decide all of a sudden that Adkan, you worry about this possibility and this possibility and this possibility, you don't worry about the ceiling falling in the office? Well, you never heard about ceilings falling in. Buildings never collapse? You never heard about a building collapsing? How come you don't worry about it? So we look for assurance, Rabbosai, on absolutely any level. And we're supposed to be shifting that sense of assurance, or the address that we're looking for that sense of assurance, gradually, gently, but steadily shifting it over so that that sense of assurance is from the Rabbonu Shalom. And it can't be done in a wrenching way, because if you do it in a wrenching way, you're not being true to yourself. You don't really believe in the Rabbonu Shalom. What's the proof? The proof is you don't have a smile on your face. That's the proof. Proof is a sense of simcha and a sense of graciousness. The bitachon experience is a relief. It's a release. It's an easing of the tension. It's not, oh no, now I got to have bitachon. It's not an, oh no, I got to have bitachon experience. It's, I really feel much more at ease. I don't feel as nervous. Turns out, from Chazal, and this I struggle with this, I must tell you, I struggle with this statement. Seems clear from Chazal that everybody relies on something. Notwithstanding the people with an anxiety disorder, who just can't somehow rely on anything, and again, they do rely on some things, because they're not anxious about everything, they're anxious about very specific things. The seems that we all have things that we use to lower our stress level and we rely on them. It seems from Rabbeinu Yonah and Mishle that the number one culprit, what would you say is the number one culprit?
That which we do rely on,
that we tend to rely on. Number one culprit. What gives us the most peace of mind, takes off the most
money.
Stress? I would have said money.
That we're living.
What's that?
That we're going to live.
No, feel very
reliance.
That we're going to get. That we're continuing to live.
What is the reliance? What are you relying on to say that I'm certain that I'm going to continue to live because? I'm sorry? Meaning? Statistics. So I would have answered money or statistics. Those would have been my answer. Statistics. Who doesn't rely on statistics? If you didn't rely on it, if you don't, you know, that's why I do this, even though there's a certain percentage of risk. But I feel a sense of confidence. I rely on statistics. And if they try to tack it on to chazakah, I said, no, I'm allowed to rely on statistics, because after all, there's such a thing as chazakah in the world. So chazakah is a way of taskening a shayla. It's not a way of feeling reliant. Okay. So that's what I would have answered. Rabbeinu Yonah says the number one culprit is our brain. That's the number one culprit. That's the number one guy. Ve'al binoscha al tisha'ein, betach el Hashem b'chol libecha, ve'al binoscha al tisha'ein, says Rabbeinu Yonah, why did Shlomo HaMelech pick on our brain? He picked on our brain because avada, osher, and gvura, and all of those other things, of course we're not supposed to be relying on those, but the vast majority of people in the world rely on their brain. I have a brain. How do I know that I can get from here to there? Because I have a brain. How do I know that I can learn this daf? Because I have a brain. How do I know? I said, I have a brain. How do I know that I can read this page, that I can do this job, that I can turn on this machine? Not just that I have a reliance on the machine. I know how to do it. Try not to get through. I know how to do it. A brain. So that is the number one culprit. The number one culprit is a brain. Now both say, let's see what it would look like not to rely on your brain. See if anybody can even describe what that scene would look like to not rely on your brain. The depth of your heart, rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, absolute reliance. Don't rely on your brain. Let's see what that would look like. Talking theory here, right? Not practice. Just talking theory. What would that look like? In Shalom Aleichem, I want to introduce you to somebody who does not rely on his brain. He relies on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't rely on his brain. Could we explore that for a minute? Would you like to describe this person?
Wouldn't be able to lift his arm.
Wouldn't be able to?
Rely on Hashem and lift his arm.
How do I know the receptor is going to allow me to make that motion?
That's right. That's right. And so what happens?
Can it sit still?
He would just sit still.
If he
that means he doesn't rely on anyone. He doesn't rely on Hashem either.
He would, right? That's not a very relaxed state. But the state that we're talking about of is not a stress-filled state. It's not a paralyzed state of immobility. It's a person who flows through life. He goes through life with a sense of ease and well-being. We're not talking about somebody who's paralyzed into immobility. No, I want to know, what does it look like? So you were starting to say it. What were you trying to say?
No, I was going to say it was very. I wasn't understanding the line because broke. I would think it'd be very nerve wracking not to rely on my brain.
Okay.
Not relying on my brain, or not using my brain.
No, not for sure. I'm not.
Because when he was describing,
right, not using my brain. No, besides, and as he said, what could be more? What could be more stressful?
It's something like replacing my reliance on my brain with understanding that Kodesh Baruch Hu will help me do everything, irrespective of my own brain abilities. But I'm not getting there yet.
Okay, so again, Rabotai, if it doesn't feel like it's bringing you in a direction of high functioning and relaxed, then you're not looking in the right corner of the room. Go look in a different corner of the room.
He wants to go somewhere, so he doesn't rely on his knowledge and his ability that I know how to get from here to there.
No, of course, he relies on his GPS. So what's he talking about? I'm not going to rely on my own ability. If I sense of direction, that's useless. I have a GPS for that. Yeah.
So even if he has a GPS, he's going to stay on, whatever. He understands that without a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he can't get there. So if he gets in a valid ishtadlus, he'll get there. And if he doesn't end up there because his GPS broke or because he made a wrong turn, that's not the end of the world, because somehow it must mean Minashamayim, because he did what he considered a valid ishtadlus.
Okay, so the very important point about what happens when it doesn't work. When it doesn't work out the way I planned, is probably an important litmus test of what I was doing in the positive side. Meaning, how I relate to not being able to get to my destination, to taking 16 wrong turns because there's one ways, and it's not B'nai Brak, where one ways are just like sort of good advice. You know? Where it's actually like a one way, like you really can't go the other way, right? So, Eitzah Tova Kamash Malan. Good advice. Like, probably be better if you didn't. So, and I'm taking 16 turns, and I'm not getting to where I need to get to. So now, I will know whether or not I was in fact a boteach by how I relate to that reality. Okay, so it's a fair...
Probably very in the moment.
It's extremely in the moment. Good for you. Keep on pushing. You're on the trail. Keep on pushing. What does that feel like? What does that seem like to be that in the moment? What would bring a person in the moment? Why would a person be in the moment?
I'm always in the moment with Hashem, and I'm only relying on that.
But what am I doing right now?
You don't have to worry about
what am I doing.
What am I doing?
I'm doing a shtadlus.
Careful,
I'm
careful.
Doing a shtadlus,
careful.
I'm not
careful. What am I doing in doing this shtadlus? I'm doing what is meaningful to me to do right now. That's all. It has freed me up to do what is meaningful to do right now. I am now just here in the moment. I'm just here with you. Why? Because I'm taken care of. I'm now free to be here now. I just do a mental inventory. Am I free to be here in the room with you guys? Am I free to be here?
What is it? Are you depicting what is the state of mind of the boteach is? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, what is the boteach who is in the concept of El Binoscha Al Tisha'in? The freedom that comes with giving myself to this moment. So what is that? If I'm giving myself to this moment, what am I relying on? The answer is, I'm so fully given to this moment that I'm not relying on anything but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What would it look like to rely on my brain?
Well, you have to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be in the moment.
I'm sorry?
You can't be in the moment without relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Try that. Good. Perfect. Just go there, exactly there. I'm going to give myself fully over to this Rashi. I'm going to give myself over fully to trying to understand this Rashi. And try to rely on your brain to make it happen. There has to be an element of anxiety in the story. Now, you've compensated for that anxiety because of our incredible reliance on statistics. So you've compensated for the anxiety that you would have. I'm not a person who loses track of things. I'm not chas v'shalom, you know. I'm not an Alzheimer's patient. I'm not losing track of things. I can remember things that I said, and I can remember things that I why? Because statistical assumption. It's been that way since yesterday, and it'll be that way tomorrow. So I've dealt with that tinge of anxiety that really is a distraction from the Rashi.
What's that anxiety? What's the label? What's it called? It's all up to me.
It's where do I get the freedom to be able to engage with this Rashi from?
What's anxiety called?
Because otherwise I'm not fully in the moment. And I'm not fully feeling alive.
Well,
I can't.
Anxiety means I'm somewhere else while I should be here.
A certain percentage of me?
A certain percentage of me somewhere else.
It's somewhere else. That's right.
And it's a default position. If you have something to rely on, there's always going to be an anxiety. You can't change that.
No. Because you have to rely on something. Because the lemaisa is that there's a lot of things in our world that we can't control for. So the fact is that I can't give myself over fully to this moment.
What am I anxious about? Just being
so everybody has.
No, in this case of the Rashi, what if the guy is learning the Rashi, he's being relying on his brain, what is his anxiety?
He's not actually aware of his anxiety. But if you ever look at people who have anxiety problems, you'll see it in slow motion. I might forget something. I might not understand exactly what you're saying. I might not get it. I might not. Be as clever as you are. What's that?
I might not get pshat.
If you watch somebody with an anxiety disorder, you'll just see your own thoughts slow down. Because that's what all of us are going through. We just do it extremely quickly and rely on statistics.
And it's very unproductive. Unproductive if you're using all of, if you're busy being anxious about everything.
Okay, so that's only because when you slow it down, it cripples the person. So we are consider ourselves very fortunate if we're not crippled by that slowdown. But honestly, to be really frank with you, he's at least more honest. I just do it very quickly, so it's like a sleight of hand on the card trick. But he's at least being real. He's worried, am I going to get shot? Am I going to understand it? Do I understand it? Am I, you know, and he doesn't rely on his brain. He doesn't rely on his brain. He doesn't rely on anything. So now he is crippled by his anxiety.
He has more opportunities to fill that void with Hashem, or he's...
Very interesting question as to whether the person with anxiety in the end of the day will become more of a Baal Bitachon than I will. That is very, very possible. I don't deny that as a real possibility. He's jealous of me because he sees me being able to walk out of my apartment without checking the lock 16 times. He's jealous of me. How do you do that? How do you walk out of the apartment without doing 16 checks of the lock and 14 checks of the doorknob and then go back inside and see if the water was running? How do you do it? So he's jealous of me, and I don't understand how I do it. I don't understand how I do it, and I think that he's honest and I'm a faker. He's for real. How do you do it? How do you walk out of your apartment and not check to see that every single faucet is closed and that there's no possibility of that faucet opening up and that the door is locked and that the doorknob is it and that, in fact, you didn't leave the iron plugged in and that the whole place is going to get nuked?
Well, then...
I'm sorry?
I'm saying, in a Derech HaTevet, why is Roy's people not worried about that? Why are they not?
El Binoscha. He relies on his brain.
We're not thinking about those things.
That's right. And we do these things so quickly.
We think the building...
Why not?
Properly.
Tell me.
So I'm saying,
why not?
We do those things for Roy's things. So they're not so worried about
right,
that.
I rely on statistics. I rely on Kablanim. I rely on... Whoa. Rely on Kablanim. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a scary thought. I mean, you stop and think about it. Right, if you stop and see it and think about it, by the time you're done, we can all be pretty anxious. Can you imagine you're relying on a Kablan?
Yeah.
You're going to sleep at night? Your baby's in a room that was put together by a Kablan? I mean, really? And you sleep at night? That's pretty amazing, right? But by the time you're done, you should be able to get to the point where a person with an anxiety disorder is better off than you are.
The Kaplan is being thrown in jail for mistakes.
Right, so they're standing on line.
I'm betach in the legal system.
It's a good thing you don't have anything to do with the legal system. It's a good thing you don't know anything about the legal system so that you can be betach in it.
It's worse than the Kaplan.
And the only people who are not betach in the army are the people who know anything about the army. If you know anything about the operation of the army is the biggest miracle in Israel. The fact that it's able to move anything from point A to point B at all is a miracle. You have people there who think so slowly that you think they were thinking backwards. Stunning, stunning degrees of inefficiency. It's absolutely amazing that anything works there at all. People get lost from their system completely. I mean, people in the army get lost, let alone people who are outside of the army. Just push get lost in this morass of bureaucracy. Just lost. So, if you stop and you would think about it, you would slow down this process, you would flip out. And you know what? Go do it. Go do it and then say, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do this, so that I will relax. What do you relax? I'm getting all nervous. What are you talking about, relax? You relax, and now there's only one way that you can relax. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to be able to give yourself fully to this moment. You're with your wife. You're with a child. You're with the Rashi. You're with the friend. You're with the davening. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to be able to give yourself over to that moment fully. And the only way that you can give yourself over to that moment fully is if someone's taking care of all of the details. Because at this moment, I'm not looking after those details. I'm not standing there with one of those the crutches that you can put between the floor and the ceiling, you know, that you can hold up and trying to figure out where the crossbeam is if they put one in, you know, where the crossbeam is so that I can support it so that, you know, I'm not doing that right now. Right now I'm singing a lullaby to the kid. So how do I sing a lullaby to the kid? And I feel that singing a lullaby to the child is the meaningful moment right now. That is what I want to be doing right now. I want to show him my love. I want to be there with him. I want to be there right now. And it's not a false cheshbon. It's a real cheshbon. How am I supposed to give myself over to that moment? Bitach el Hashem b'chol libecha ve'al binoscha al tisha'ein says that in order to give yourself fully to the moment, you have to let go of all of the other sources of comfort. The other sources of relaxation, of comfort, that a person grabs onto, let go. That does not need to mean don't go to the doctor. Again, that does not, we're not even getting into the question. That's a complex and interesting question about whether or not to actually go to the doctor. Interesting question. It's quite irrelevant. People use it as though it's the litmus test of bitachon. It's not. It's really quite irrelevant. It has to do with very high levels of relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu as to whether or not the person does or does not use a particular ishtadlus to conceal the miracle. It's an interesting and sophisticated discussion. Rav Dessler has a discussion about the four kings. It's nothing to do with the work of bitachon that we're supposed to have. The work of bitachon that we are supposed to be working on is to recognize that nothing else can give you a sense of peace of mind that will free you up to live in the moment fully. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to live the moment as fully and as robustly as you possibly can.
So what are you saying when you sing the lullaby? You're saying, Yimanasha, either it's going to fall on my head, which is best for me, or it's not, which is best for me. And then you say, then you're fine? What does it look like?
Oh, good. So now you're ready to meet the person, yeah? Okay. So he's very relaxed. You say to him, why are you relaxed? Didn't you ever hear about roofs falling in? What? How are you relaxed? And his answer is going to be, I'm here right now. I'm not dealing with that. It's not the Miman Hashach. It's not the Miman Hashach. It's the investment in the moment that is meaningful to me right now.
What allows him to get into that moment and out of the moment? He's relying on Hashem.
He's relying on Hashem. He's not going down. There's a zillion billion things that he's having to rely on.
Hashem gives me Rishus to say, I'm going to do what I'm going to do right now, and I don't have to think about
Rishus?
It. Yeah.
Rishus? He's asking you to do this. If he's asking you to do it, what do you think? He's not going to take care of all the details? He can give you rishus. He's asking you to learn this daf gemara.
We're assuming that I've already worked out that that's what I'm supposed to be doing right now. So it's Ka'ilu. He's asking me.
Right. You okay? So assuming that we're doing something that I feel is meaningful, meaning that it's a Ratzon Hashem and it's what I want to do, and I'm in touch with my deepest Ratzonos, and I want to learn this Rashi. Yes, I want to learn this Rashi, and I don't understand.
Since I'm doing what's meaningful now, so.
Since I'm doing? No, that's what I'm doing. And in order to give myself to this fully, I need to be able to let go. And the letting go includes that my eyes will blink and my blood will pulse and that the roof won't fall in. And you want to know a few other things that it means relying on? Well, guess what? You start doing with a list and you can do nishmas looks like a nothing compared to the list of things that you're relying on in order to give yourself to that Rashi. And every one of us is relying on something else, on statistics, on our brain. But that is taking away from being here fully with the Rashi.
What's the Batach doing again?
He's learning Rashi. He's learning Rashi. That's what the Batach is doing.
Why is he doing that? Because he's worked out what he's supposed to do now.
He's doing that because it feels meaningful to him. It feels
meaningful to him.
Feels meaningful to him to work on understanding the Rashi. Yeah, absolutely. Based on what he's learned, based on what he understands from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, based on his Yerush Shemayim.
But how's he saying no? How's he getting those thoughts out? How are those thoughts not coming in?
Because the same way that a person would not be struggling when he's Gemul Aleimo, when the baby, right? The mother, the famous Mashal, David HaMelech refers to himself as a Gemul Aleimo, What does that mean? He's a nursing child and his mother. What's the muscle? Mother was in a terrible matzav. It was a battle. She was running from place to place, hiding from place to place. She was dodging obstacles and all sorts of things. She was running and dodging, and she has a story afterwards. Oh, wow, what a story she's going to tell. And they asked the child, so where were you? My mother was holding me. She has a story to tell. Me? I don't have a story to tell. I was just nursing by my mother. I was always in the same place. Gemula le'imo. I was always in the same place. Now, for a person to get there, you can't play a game of make-believe, because this has to do with your genuine stress level. This is not a fantasy. This is, what is my stress level? It was a question.
How do I get to the point where I'm sitting down learning this Rashi and the other things that I could be doing aren't impinging in here?
By deciding that I want to learn the Rashi.
That's a decision you might get. So pre-using that to learn the Rashi, there was a shikl, there was a what should I be doing now learning the Rashi or going, yeah. And
is there a chesed chi yefshal yideh cheirim? So that overrides, is there it? Whatever it was. This is what I'm doing right now.
Once I made the decision, that's it.
That's right. I decided that until 3:15, we have to break. Until 3:15, I'm with you guys. What about the 600 other things that need to get done? It was a decision that was made. We made a decision together. You're allowed to get help making a decision. You don't have to make the decision. But in the end of the day, after you're getting help making the decision, you have to decide that it's what you really want to do. After all the help, now Bashir could tell me 14 times that this is a good thing to do, but if it doesn't, if in the end of the day I didn't decide that this was the right thing to do, so I'm finished. So why should I? What am I investing myself in? That you have to be deciding in your life what you want to do right now. No matter how many people are going to sit over your head and tell you what you should do. If Rabbi Sherry told me, you really should come and you really should meet and you really should, that's all very nice. In the end of the day, if I don't feel that that's meaningful for me to do that, get out of here, man. Because there's no way that you can activate a bitachon system. What am I doing? Feeling absolutely relaxed. Feeling at ease. I can give myself over completely to the moment, and I don't think that I should be here.
Is that how you see it, Sahar?
Right? So I don't think I should be here.
So that's how you feel the answer, right? Depending on how many other things are trying to, let's say you decide this is the best thing, but obviously there always, but the fact that you're in the moment yourself, you feel you're in the moment, if you are in the moment, does that mean that everything is sort of going
to
step up?
I want you to know, we don't have time now, we'll pick up the question, Be'ezer Hashem. One of the major problems is that our capacity to multitask. That is a big problem. We have a capacity to multitask. And therefore, we don't feel the robust nature of what it means to put yourself fully into something. And that's why people play squash.
I'm talking to a squash player here.
That's why people play squash. That's why people jump off a cliff with a rope tied around their leg. Because they're not thinking about their cell phone while they're coming down the cliff. They are not thinking about the 14 other things and the bills that need to be paid and whether or not the roof is going to climb. You say, whoa, what in the world are they relying on? A rope that hopefully is tied on securely and that the length was measured properly. And it's, the tension on the line,
Are you saying they use it as an escape from...
Because we all want to feel alive! I want to feel that I can give myself over to a moment!
They have a desire to feel...
We all do!
...in the moment, so that's why they want something so intense they can't think of anything
exactly.
else.
Exactly. We want to have, at least for a brief moment, the experience of being alive! So you rush with this adrenaline to such a degree that, okay, so everything else just disappears for a moment. That what happens 2 seconds later, I can't tell you. But I just have to retell the story about the one moment that I had in my life that I actually felt that I was alive. We're supposed to be having that all the time. We're supposed to be feeling that experience, the rush of feeling that we are fully engaged in the moment. We're supposed to be feeling that all the time. Well, there's only one way to feel that all the time, is that if you have bitachon. If you don't have bitachon, how are you supposed to feel that rush? The answer is, with a rope around your, you know, you can't do that all the time. How many times can you jump off a cliff like that? You know, been there, done that.
I mean, you'll stop worrying while you're jumping.
You could eventually, I guess, if you did it enough. I want you to know, a person can become such a good squash player that he can actually be thinking about his bills while he's playing squash. So most people can't do that. Most people can't get to that point. So therefore, there's an appeal to playing squash. That appeal, however, gets lost at a certain point, unless you get into extremely competitive context, that appeal gets lost. Because you know what? I'm no longer feeling that alive anymore. Because I'm capable of multitasking. I can play the game of squash and be thinking about whether or not the guy in the balcony thinks that I'm a clever guy, and whether or not the guy, you know, now I'm finished. I'm going to leave the room. I'm not staying here. I only came here because I wanted to feel alive for a second. So at that point, I'm leaving. I'm stepping out. So Rabosai, the goal and the mission is to be able to give ourselves fully over to the moments in our lives. That's the goal. The only way to do that is to deal with the fact that we're not worried about anything else. How we deal with that, with those other things, are the emunas that we have in our life, the bitachons that we have in our life. Most of those have to do with our statistics and our brain. And if you would slow down the action, you would realize that both of those are unfortunate things to rely on. They are unfortunate because they don't really give us the robust sense of total engagement. And we say, okay, so life isn't about total engagement. So life is about 70% engagement. Hey, that's pretty good. Most people don't even have that. So at least I have 70% engagement. And you can't imagine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to grant us 100% engagement in our lives. We don't even have that on our radar screen. But that's what the Rabbeinu Shlomo is looking to give us. He's looking to give us robust moments of engagement in our lives. And the only way that we can do that is Be'ezer Hashem, if we explore and investigate the concept of bitachon. Kol Tov, Rabbeinu Shlomo.